All right, Javosa, good afternoon. Let us begin. So first of all, I want to give a special thank you to our sponsor, Adam Yudit Ben Zev, for sponsoring the Lunch and Learn this particular week. We thank the Ben Zevs very much for their sponsor, for their generosity. Thank you to Jeremy for coordinating the shiur and being so diligent and sending out the messages. And again, it's incredible. It's supposed to be able to learn with all of you, Baruch Hashem, in the middle of the workday. So I wanted to cover an interesting topic just that we covered in Daf Yomi last week, and to expound on it a little bit. Take a look at number one. So this is Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Yot Tesamud Beis. Last week's Daf. I'm Rav Yehuda Marav. Hamotzi kilayim bebigdo. If a person goes ahead and finds kilayim, finds shatnez in his clothing, poshtan afilu b'shuk. The halacha is, you have to take off your clothing even in the shuk. So literally, again, I just want to point out, this is not a metaphor, right? It's not, it's literal. I'm standing in the shuk, I'm standing in the marketplace, I find that my clothing has shatnez, I'm obligated to take it off right then and there. I says the Gemara, my time. What's the reason for this? Now, what's bothering the Gemara is, how could you tell a person to take off their clothing in the middle of the shuk? Is that not compromising the dignity of the individual? To which the Gemara says, "Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etzel neged Hashem." The Gemara quotes the pasuk. The pasuk says, literally, there is no wisdom, there is no contemplation, and there is no counsel when it comes to God. What that means is, "Komakom sheyesh chil Hashem ein cholkin kavod l'rav." Wherever ultimately, again, there is an element of Chilul Hashem, desecration of God's name, so we do not worry about Kavod Abriya. So we'll say, what this Gemara represents is perhaps one of the most fundamental clashes that one can encounter. The clash ultimately between human dignity and quote-unquote divine dignity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs are his dignity. When I observe the mitzvahs, I am upholding divine dignity. So here, divine dignity mandates that I go ahead and take off the shatnez even in the middle of the shuk, even in the middle of the marketplace. But yet my personal human dignity warrants that what? That I don't do so. So the Gemara is discussing over here is what happens when there's a clash between human dignity and divine dignity, to which the Gemara very clearly says, whose dignity wins? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity wins over my dignity, and therefore, again, I'm obligated, the halacha says, to take off the clothing that shatnez even in the middle of the shuk. Even though, again, I'm going to be humiliated, I'm going to be embarrassed, it can be devastating, you can't wear shatnez, you have to take off the clothing. That's the Pashat reading of the Gemara. I'm sorry? God, in this context, Larab means the individual. Whenever ultimately there's an element of Chilul Hashem, so we don't worry about the dignity of the individual. This is the halacha, and in fact, if you take a look at number two, so the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, one of the earliest codifiers of halacha, quotes this halacha, l'maisa amra b'hudu amrav, hamotzi kilayim b'bigdo, poshto afila b'shuk. If a person finds kilayim, if a person finds shatnez in his clothing, he takes it off, even if he's in the middle of the marketplace. Shene emar, ein chachma ve'ein tuna ve'ein itzel neged Hashem, komakum sheshchil Hashem ein cholkin kavod larav. So good. So the Rosh understands the Gemara as stated as is. That halacha lemaisa, when there's a conflict between your personal dignity, divine dignity, so divine dignity always wins. Comes along the Rambam. And the Rambam has a dramatically different interpretation of this halacha. Take a look at number three. So this is the Rambam in Hilchos Kilayim. The Rambam in Hilchos Shatnez writes as follows. Haroe Kilayim Shel Torah Al Chavero. So remember again, how is Rambam framing the case? What's the case going to the Rambam? Haroe Kilayim Shel Torah Al Chavero. What does that mean? See, this is the problem when we sponsor lunch. Everybody gets way too into it, right? Hey, so we'll say, what does it mean? Not a trick question. Haroa kelaim shel Torah al chavero. Thank you. Right? Your friend's wearing shatnez. You see someone else wearing shatnez. Right? That's what I want to say. I see my friend wearing shatnez. Afilu mahalech b'shuk. Even if I see him walking in the marketplace, kofet lo v'kora alav miyad. What do? You run over to your friend, and what do? You tear the shatnez off him. Incredible halacha in the Rambam. I'm walking in the marketplace. I see my friend wearing shatnez. The halacha is, I tear the garment right off him. Va'afilu haya rabo shalom do chachma. Even if the person wearing the shatnez was your Rebbe, who's responsible for teaching you the majority of your Torah knowledge, you still tear the shatnez article of clothing right off him. She'im kavad abriyas, docha ister lo sase hamafurash batorah. Because ultimately, again, kavad abriyos, human dignity, does not set aside a prohibition in the Torah. So, you understand what just happened over here? The Rambam has a dramatically different reading of the Gemara. Whereas when we read the Gemara, there's a reading of the Rosh, what's the case talking about? What's the case? The case is, I'm wearing shatnez. So what says, remember again, how would you I'm wearing shatnez, and what happens? Well, let's just play out the case. How does it work? I'm wearing shatnez, what happens? So I realize, or perhaps I would assume the pashtos, the case is, someone comes over to me and tells me, by the way, that suit, that shatnez. That shatnez. And so the halacha tells you, what do I have to do? Mamash, right then and there, take it off right in the shuk. The Rambam's interpretation was, no, that's not the case. The case is where I see my friend wearing shatnez, and the halacha tells me that if I see my friend wearing shatnez, what do? Kofetzlo. People say, kofetzlo means what? The Lashon over here is incredible. What's kofetzlo mean? Jump on him, right? Jump on him. Vikora alav miyad. And what? Literally again, rip off the clothing from him. Incredible, dramatic. And not only that, but even if this person is someone who I'm normally obligated to have incredible covet for, dignity for, honor for, I still have to go ahead and jump on this guy, tear off the clothing. That's the halacha. Thank you, Yossi. Good. Really? Yossi opened it. Okay, yeah. So the Gemara says, yes, it's a no part question. Yes. So I'll say, so listen to this. She'im kavad abriyas docha Israel lo sasem purusha Torah. V'lama nitche ba'ashava savi. So now, remember again, we're not going to get into this now. The Gemara does give examples where kavad abriyos, dignity, does set aside different mitzvahs. So for example, the Gemara says, in the mitzvah of hashava saveda, right, the halacha is, if I find the lost object, I am obligated to go ahead and take it and announce it and find its rightful owner. But yet there are circumstances where, let's say again, it's beneath my dignity to go ahead and take that lost object. The halacha says I'm exempt. So we see that there are examples where kavod abriyos, human dignity, ultimately does set aside other halachas. So the Rambam goes on to explain why those cases are different. Skip down a little bit in the Rambam. I'm now four lines down in number 3. Aval davar she'isuro midivrehem. But halacha lemaisa, let's say the person is violating an isur midrabanan. So I'll say, remember again, up until now, the focus here is what? Is that a person is going ahead and sees someone who is violating a biblical prohibition. So then the Rambam says, I'm obligated to step in, literally prevent the person from violating anymore and rip the clothing right off them. What happens if the person is not violating a biblical prohibition? Let's say it's rabbinic shatnez, something like that. Say, this is very interesting. So the Rambam says, when do we say that a prohibition sets aside kavod abriyos, human dignity? That's only when it's an issur d'oraisa, a biblical prohibition. But if I see my friend violating an issur d'rabbanan, a rabbinic prohibition, then kavod abriyos trumps a rabbinic prohibition. So for example, if my friend were to be wearing what we'll call for our purposes rabbinic shatnez, the halacha would be, leave him alone. Now we'll see exactly what we do under those circumstances. He goes on, if you skip down to last night, Rambam, lefichach, im haya alav shatnez shal divrehem, eino korea alav b'shuk, veino poshit b'shuk, ad shemagia lebeiso. So I will say, for example, if I see my friend wearing rabbinic shatnez, so what do I do? Not only, of course, do I not pounce on him and tear off the garment of shatnez, but what else do I do? I wait till he gets home. Once he gets home, I tell him, by the way, that jacket is shatnez. Why do I wait till he gets home? Why? This again is unembarrassed, right? He'll change the clothing once he's in the safety and security of his own home. So I will say, so what you see over here is a dramatic machlokes about how to read the Gemara. The Rosh understands the Gemara as it's stated over here, namely the idea that what? That halacha lemaisa, if I go ahead and I am wearing shatnez, and someone points that out to me in the shuk, I am obligated to take my clothing off right then and there to avoid transgressing biblical law. According to the Rush, is the Gemara teaching me anything about someone else? No. Right? According to the Rush, the Gemara is talking about me. The Rambam, dramatically different understanding. The subject of the Gemara is me seeing someone else transgressing. And therefore the Rambam says, if I see someone else transgressing, I am obligated to actively intervene. I'm obligated to run over to the guy, rip off the jacket, even if he's my Rebbe, because ultimately, again, even though that's going to be an affront to his dignity, the fact that he's going ahead and transgressing is an affront to God's dignity, and God's dignity is more important than even my Rebbe's dignity. Yes?
Where do we have cases that it's my job to wear?
Oh, so good. Excellent. Hold on to that for just a second.
The Gemara itself has an example where an Amora thought a woman was wearing
the Karbalto, yep. Correct. That's excellent. That's no sikhilim. Bring down as a right to the Rambam. But by the way, even without getting complicated like that, if you go ahead and you're the Rambam, where does the Rambam get this reading of the Gemara? Mostly, take a look for a moment, just a little bit more analytically at number one. Where does the Rambam get this idea that ultimately this halacha is being espoused vis-a-vis another? This is about something that Maish said before. Because how does the Gemara phrase it? Komakom sheish chil Hashem. Ein cholkin kavod l'rav. So remember again, Moshe asked before, who's the Rav? So the parsha pshat is, who's the Rav? According to the Rosh, who's the Rav in this case? The Rav is me. The individual. The individual. Whenever there's a clash between my dignity and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dignity, at the end of the day, God's dignity wins. But the Rambam understands that no. Ein cholkin kavod l'rav is actually who? Is actually referring to who? Referring to even my Rebbe. Even my Rebbe, that even if there's a clash ultimately between my Rebbe's kavod and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod, I intervene to go ahead and safeguard the kavod of God, even if it comes at the expense ultimately of the kavod of my Rebbe. So we'll say, a dramatic machlokes, and you understand, of course, the nafka mina, right? The practical difference between these two approaches is tremendous, right? According to the Rush, okay, I have a very simple halacha. The halacha says that even if it costs me my personal dignity to uphold halacha, I have to uphold halacha at all costs. I get that. But the notion, like Perry was raising before, the notion that I'm literally going to pounce on someone else, I'm being a bit dramatic, but then I'm going to go over to someone else and tear off a piece of clothing from them because it's shatness, right? That somehow, again, I am the arbiter of God's will, and I'm going to drip off the jackets from my Rebbe because it's shatness. Where do we ever see such a concept like this? So the Rambam is introducing something dramatically amazing. According to the Rambam, what the Gemara is introducing is this incredible concept that if you see someone doing something wrong is an affront to God. What's my obligation? Step in. Which is dramatic, right? Because normally we would assume, listen, you want to wear shatnez? That's between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's not my business. The Rambam says, yes it is. If I see you actively transgressing, again, then halacha is, I step in, I tear off the article of clothing. Yes. Excellent, excellent, excellent point. Right, we spoke about before, 2 weeks ago, right, 2 weeks ago, that your ruchnius is your business. I can't daven for your ruchnius, and yet you're right, absolutely. Here you see, what's the difference? It would appear that the difference over here is, according to the Rambam, this is something public. Right, that the idea being that as someone is actively transgressing in public, there's an obligation to step in because it's Chil Hashem. That has to be the case over here, meaning Hamotzi Kilayim Bebig... I'm sorry. So it seems to be the case over here is an obvious transgression. That's what it sounds like. But you're saying, good, let's further clarify the Rambam. So take a look. How does the Shulchan Aruch pass? Let's take a look at number four. Shulchan Aruch writes, Haroe Kelayim Shel Torah Al Chavero. So Rabbosei, this is actually amazing. So Shulchan Aruch writes that if you see your friend wearing shatnez, Afilu Haya Mahalich B'shuk, even if my friend is walking in the marketplace, Haya kofetz lo, the korah me'alav miyad. What's this? It's codified lahalacha. I see my friend wearing shatnez in the marketplace. What's the halacha? The halacha is, I jump on, literally kofetz, I jump and I tear off the article of clothing from him. Va'afilu haya rabo. And even if the person who's transgressing is my Rebbe. That's the mechaber. Comes the Rama, And the Rama says, well, let's analyze this a little bit. V'yesh omrim, di'im haya halovesh shogeg, ein sarach lomar b'shok. Mishum kavar abrius, yishtok, v'al yafrishenem mishogeg. So we'll say here, the Rama quotes the Torah, the name of the Rush, who gives an amazing and incredible qualification. When do you step in, Rabbi Hussein? When do you step in and actively take action to remedy someone else's negative or deleterious behavior? When do you do that? When the person is amazed. When the person is intentionally transgressing. So if the person is intentionally transgressing, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, there's a chilul Hashem aspect. And when there's a chilul Hashem aspect, that's in the halacha. It says you're obligated to intervene. But if the person is a shogeg, let's say a person is wearing shaknas b'shogeg, they don't know. Either. And by the way, you know, the word shogeg, or actually the category of shogeg, is a very expansive one. Right? Shogeg can mean they know the halachas of shaknas, but they don't know you have to check your suit. Or shogeg can mean they don't know the halachas of shaknas. Or shogeg can mean someone told them this brand suit is not shaknas. It could be a whole variety of things. So the Rama says that if the person who's wearing the suit, the shaknas suit, is shogeg, then you don't intervene in public. Instead, what do you do? Wait till the person gets home and tell them then. And tell them then. So we'll say, so now you have a fundamental machlokes in the Mechaber and the Rama. If you notice again, the Mechaber, Rav Yosef Karo, does not make any such distinction between shogeg and mezid. Right? According to the Mechaber, the halacha is, if you see someone wearing shatnas, what do you do? What do you do? You get involved. You get involved, right? You get involved. They always say, you understand, by the way, getting the example that the halacha is bringing of going ahead and running over and tearing off someone's jacket, you understand it's not a literal idea. What it means is you need to go over and tell the person, by the way, the jacket is shatnez, what you're doing is wrong and you need to remove it. Right? That's what's happening. I mean, you need to intervene right then and there. You can't wait till the guy gets home, give him a phone call, say, by the way, I don't know if you know, but the jacket was shatnez. The Rama says, everything depends. If the person is shogeg, then absolutely, see, here's the thing I'm about to say. What the Rama says is, when do we say that when there's a clash between your dignity and divine dignity wins? That's when you are trying to flaunt divine authority. If you are trying to show that ultimately, again, your opinion matters more than God, that's when there's an obligation for someone else to step in and remedy the situation. But if a person's a shogeg, he just doesn't know. So then the Rama says, halacha l'maisa, you go ahead and you wait till he gets home, and there's no need to intervene in public. Ultimately, again, so here the Mechaber does, however, he agrees that if the person is only violating a rabbinic prohibition, there is no need to intervene under those circumstances, and therefore halacha l'maaseh, wait till he gets home. So we'll say, what you see is something really incredibly amazing, which is that the halacha literally sounds like it's siding with the Rambam, right? So you have machlokes mechaber and the Rama, and the machlokes mechaber and the Rama is the machlokes Rambam and the Rush. Right, the Rambam, again, was just to follow the flow. The Rambam's understanding that the Gemara is talking about my obligation vis-a-vis the other. Vis-a-vis the other, I see someone else transgressing biblical law, I have an obligation to intervene and to prevent them from any further violation. The Rush says, the Gemara is not talking about someone else. Because like Steve was saying before, I both say, you know what? We worry about our own ruchnias, not about the ruchnias of the other. The Gemara is teaching me about what I have to do in the event that I find out that I'm wearing shatnas in public. I'm obligated to take it off right then and there. The Mechaber takes a literally copies the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch copies the Rambam. The Rama softens it a little bit. And the Rama says, listen, even the din of the Rambam only applies if the person is bemazed, intentionally violating. But if the person is a shogeg, unintentionally violating, then what? Don't embarrass them in public, but rather allow them to go ahead and get home. And once they get home, you could tell them about the shatnez. So I'll show you something interesting. Take a look at number 8. So the Trumas Hadeshen deals with an interesting shaila that could come up. Look what he writes. He says, Kohen shochev amitaso, upashat kol begadav kiderach ha'olam. So let's listen to this case. Actually, very much also linked to our today's daf. Right? So let's listen to this. A kohen goes to sleep, and he's sleeping unclothed. Kederach ha'olam. I guess this was the way people slept in times through a sadeshen. And what happened? Upitam karalov v'amrilo echad meis ba'oel. So let's listen to this. So now somebody tells him, oi, somebody passed away in the house. Somebody passed away in the house. So we'll say, so what's the shayla? Tzarech hu likpots arum mamish v'lara tzchutz la'ohel, k'dei shalo yishe b'tuma. O shari mishum kavar abrios lishos ba'ohel ad asher yilbosh miktas v'gadim. So we'll say, hear the shayla? What's the shayla? Cohen sleeping, someone says, quick, someone died in the house. Is he obligated to run out of the house? Mamish naked. Is he obligated just to run out of the house? Because we'll remember again, every moment he stays there, technically speaking, he's in a state of sin. So does he have to just run out as is? Or is he permitted to tarry just a few more moments, at least to what? To go ahead and put something on, to be able ultimately to safeguard his dignity. So what's the answer? Turn the page. So why is the Chumas Hadeshen something amazing? He says, Tshuva, Yira, Demishum Kavar Abrios, Lo Naase Shum Isudor Isaac, Yidisa Behedja, Begimar Perak Misha Mesu, Vishuri Betumas Hames, Oel Hames, Lakoin Isura de Oraisa. So we'll say, so Bepashtos, so listen to this. So it sounds like it's pretty simple, right? What's the straightforward halacha? What would it sound like? He's got to run out, right? So we'll say, why does he have to run out? Because what's the choice, right? Remember, what's the choice? The choice is, tarry, put on your clothing, and therefore, what are you doing? You're violating an Isser. You're violating an Isser. Or run out and be embarrassed. Okay, so we kind of establish that. Meaning, everybody agrees that. I must remember again, the only issue that comes up, the only point of contention, even between the Rambam and the Rosh, is what? What's your obligation is vis-a-vis someone else? That's what the machlokes is. But everyone agrees that vis-a-vis yourself, what's the halacha? Vis-a-vis yourself, you're certainly obligated to get out as quickly as possible, even if it means damage to your own covet. So the pashtos, it sounds like once the kohen knows that someone is dead inside of that structure, he is obligated to leave, even if halacha lamaisa, he's going to be terribly embarrassed and humiliated. But we'll say, but watch this. Amnam, here we go. Osam shekorim lakohen lakom velatzeis, Yizaru b'tchila shelo yagidu lo miyad sheyesh meis ba'ohel. I will say, but what can you do? Those people who are waking up the Kohen, what do they do when they wake him up? So I will say, here's the problem. If they wake him up and they tell them, quick, someone died, then what does the Kohen have to do? What does he have to do? He has to get out as quickly as possible. But if they go ahead and they wake him up and they don't say anything immediately, they say, you know what? Good idea for you to get up now. Why don't you get dressed and come with us? If they don't indicate why, rather they just stam go over to him. Lokum velatzes elehem ukishayilbosh yagidulo ubederach ze shari mishum kavod habrios. So we'll say, what can you do? This is actually quite amazing. So what you can do is halacha lemaisa, just tell him, Kohen, you know, why don't you come out? Why don't you get dressed and come out? We want to talk to you about something. And then once he comes out, you can tell him, by the way, someone died inside.
But he still technically is shogeg inside.
Correct. Correct. So that...
he would have preferred that. He preferred to just... I mean,
he's
still
shogeg inside. Maybe... But remember again, the reason I'm bringing this up is because this is what the Ramos said, right? The Ramos qualification in the name of the Rosh, was that when is there an obligation, ultimately again, to act immediately vis-a-vis the other? When he's amazed. But if he's a shogeg, then you could go ahead and do what you need to do in a way that also maintains his dignity. So I'm just pointing out that the Chumash Hadeshen is saying the same thing. It's true. Ramirez is pointing out, as a concerned Kohen, he's pointing out that at the end of the day, even if a Kohen becomes Tameh b'shogeg, he has still become Tameh. But remember, at this point, it's a sunk cost. Right? At the end of the day, he's already done it, right? Meaning, so we can't change that, right? That's done. The only thing we can do is, are you Tameh without your dignity or Tameh with your dignity? So the Chumash Hadeshen just points out is, there's a way, Efshar L'Kayim Shneihem. Because he's a shogeg, you know what I'm saying? I just want to point out, remember, if you were to ask the Rambam this Shaila, what would the Rambam tell you? What would the Rambam tell you? Right? So he's Tameh for sure. But what would the Rambam tell you? How do you deal with this coin? Right, there's a coin sleeping in my house. Somebody died in the house. What do I have to do with the coin? Right? Drag him out. Literally drag him out. There's no getting this. Because Ram says, we don't care about the dignity of another person when there is a biblical prohibition that is being transgressed. It was the Rush who added in, but one second. First of all, Rabbi, I might disagree with you, but certainly, again, in a case where the person is shogeg, if there's a way to tell him about what he's doing that's wrong while still preserving his dignity, that is certainly best. So therefore, again, writes the Truma Sadeshen, the coin obviously is shogeg. How do we know that he's shogeg? He's sleeping, right? The man hasn't, assuming he hasn't killed the guy in the house, right? He's shogeg. So the Truma Sadeshen says, don't say anything to him. Just tell him to get up, get dressed, come out of the house. And then after he comes out of the house, you'll tell him ultimately what happened.
Yeah, but
I'm sorry? Oh, one second. Good. And this is permitted. So I'll say, because he's shogeg, you're permitted to go ahead and preserve his dignity. Since, and therefore, is really what you're bringing up. The Truma Sadeshen says, but one second, if you allow him to get dressed every moment that he's in the house, ultimately, again, isn't that problematic? So it is. It is. But since he's not doing it intentionally, and all of it is b'shogeging, and there's a way to get him out of the house while preserving his dignity, that's best. Skip down a little bit. Miko makom. Look what he writes. Miko makom. Haynu dafka im halovesh yodea. I'm sorry. Good. So that's fine. So that's the Truma Sadeshen. So we'll say, so you see over here, halachic responsa that take into account this qualification of the Rush. Right? So remember again, the Rush introduces something amazing, because in the Rambam's model, it's really quite harsh. In the Rambam's model, if you see someone violating an Issur D'oraisa, you must step in. The Rush says, calm down. Not if the person is shogeg. Not if the person is shogeg. Halacha l'maisa, if a person is doing something accidentally, then halacha l'maisa, you should tell them, but tell them in a way that preserves their dignity. Let the kohen get dressed, tell them to come outside, and then you'll go out and tell them that finally there's someone dead in the house. Look at this Shulchan Aruch. So what's it? Shulchan Aruch codifies this case. He writes, so the Ramah quotes this case. Kohen sheshogeg arum, v'ubo'ol mehameis v'lo yada, ein lahagidlo, stam. So we'll say, so remember again, so therefore the Ramah says over here, if Kohen's sleeping in a house, someone died in the house, don't say, hey Kohen, quick, you better get up, someone died in here. Rather what? Tell him, please come, why don't you come outside, get dressed, and come outside. That way he can get dressed first and then come out. Aval, what's the good the Ramah says? Im kvar higidolo. We'll say, somebody didn't come to lunch or lunch here. So what happens? So somebody died in the house, what do they tell the Kohen? Quick, you better get out, someone died in here. Then I will say, at that case, asher lahamtin al shiyal bishatzmo, the kohen must run out of the house, even if he's unclothed.
So there's never an acceptable time when it is instantaneous.
If he knows. If he knows. That's why, again, that's why.
Is there a time? No.
He's saying you have to run out right now. You have to run out right now. So therefore, again, that's why that I'm saying, because he's shogeg, ultimately, just tell him to come out of the house and let him get dressed, and then he'll come out. Then you'll tell him what happened. But if you told him someone died in the house, he's got to leave right now. Now, watch this. Kohen shu yashin. This goes to Perry's point. Look at the last lines of Shulchan Aruch. Kohen shu yashin umes imo ba'ohel. So I said, listen, what about the following case? What if I say, you know what? He's sleeping. Then I will say, now, what is the status of a sleeping person? So the truth is, the status of a sleeping, when you're sleeping, technically speaking, you're pater from everything, right? You're not a bar das. You don't have das when you're sleeping. So I say to myself, you know what? The Kohen's sleeping. He doesn't have das anyway. He's sleeping so peacefully. He looks so comfortable. Looks so tired. I see, you know, I have a better idea. I'm not going to wake him up. When he wakes up, I'll tell him, by the way, why don't you come out of the house and we could talk, and he'll get dressed and I'll tell him afterwards. That says that I'm all you can't do. Who says that halacha lemaisa, you do have to wake him up. So what we have over here is as follows. The Mechaber telling us that when someone is violating an Issur D'oraisa, ultimately again, of course it goes that same way. If I know that I'm violating an Issur D'oraisa, my personal dignity takes a backseat to God's dignity. What the Rambam / Mechaber introduces to us is that even if I see someone else violating an Issur D'oraisa, I also have an obligation to step in and prevent the person from any further violation, even though it's going to terribly embarrass them. The Ramah qualifies this. When does he qualify it? That's only if the person is mazed. If the person is intentionally sinning, there's an element of Chilul Hashem, I'm obligated to step in. But if the person is a shogig, the person is inadvertently violating, then what? Then halacha l'maisa, I have no obligation to embarrass the person. I have to inform them. We'll say, interesting enough, there is always an obligation to inform. But if he's an accidental violator, if he's b'shogeg, I can inform him in a way that what? That ultimately, again, does not compromise his dignity. I'll give you two other examples. Take a look at number 10. So in the Shar Mitzvah Ba'alacha, it was an interesting case. It goes to Marshak, who says, listen to this case, Rabosai. B'shatz koim, shahaya mispala lifnei ha'omer b'yom kippur. Let's listen to this case. What happens if the Shliach Tzibur on Yom Kippur is a koim? Shliach Tzibur is a koim. And someone died under the same roof as the Kohen, right? So mamish in the room right next to the Beis Medrash. So the Marashak says, Ein lahagidlo. You shouldn't say anything to the Kohen Shliach Tzibur. V'afilu nisvadalo, Ein lo lahafsik tfilaso, Dizet bizayon godol, lahafsik hatfilo, V'ateva yisha'er ekam. We'll say, isn't this incredible? So the Marashak says, so you begin to see exceptions to this rule. So the Marashak says something amazing. If the Kohen is the Shliach Tzibur, now we'll say, now this is dafka case on Yom Kippur. Why is it a case on Yom Kippur? Because we'll say on Yom Kippur, it's kind of hard to find someone on the spot to be able to be the Mamala Makum, to be able to fill the slot for the Shliach Tzibur. Lav dafka that this would apply during another day of the year. But don't tell the Kohen that someone died in the other room. Let him continue with his tefillah. Now that says the Marashak, even if the Kohen found out, he still doesn't have to stop his tefillos. Why? Because ultimately, again, it's a bizayon, it's a degradation that the amid should be left without a shliach tzibur. So, which tells you what? So, now, why is this case not such a novelty? Why is this not such a chiddush? Because what's happening over here? I'm sorry? So, first of all, shogig. That's number one, shogig. Number two?
Hashem will take me first.
I'm sorry? So there's a tzibur issue over here. So we'll say, so we see over here that there's a tzibur issue.
No, that I meant actually that it's kavod Hashem also.
Right. Correct. Meaning that ultimately there's organized too, that there's a kavod tzibur, the kavod Hashem issue as well. So this case is actually quite fascinating. I don't know. I don't know if the Marashak is a das yachir on this or others apply. But you see, again, more examples. So we'll say, where does this case come up? I mean, not all the time. But perhaps one of the most frequent examples of this case, the Erev is down. The Erev is down. And you know that the Erev is down. Right? And as you're walking home from shul, you see your chaver. And what happens? He's pushing a stroller, carrying three kids, and also gifts for their hosts. Right? So you're going to be like, mamish. This is my moment to be the kanoi. I've always wanted to be the kanoi. Say, you know, by the way, the Erev is down, right? I emptied my pockets. You know, the Erev is down. So we'll say, no, really,
it's
halacha. I'm sorry?
It's usually Derabbanan.
Oh, so good. So we'll say, so listen to this. So very good. So now, this comes up all the time. I mean, again, hopefully not all the time, but this comes up. The Erev is down. I know about it. Someone else doesn't know about it. What is my obligation of disclosure vis-a-vis the other? So we'll say, so again, so first of all, as you did just say, 9 out of 10 times, maybe with the exception of Manhattan, right, so I will say, generally, our issues with Erevin are dirabanan. Right, most times, for example, our Erev in Baltimore, we don't really have what we call the Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, not a biblical Rishus HaRabim, which is why the Manhattan Erev is so controversial, because ultimately, again, Manhattan is the Rishus HaRabim D'Oraisa, but again, leaving that aside, most times we're dealing with Dine Erevin, we're dealing with dirabanans. So the good news is, even according to the Rambam, when you're dealing with the dirabanan, what's the halacha? You are not obligated to intervene right then and there. You can let the person go home, ultimately, again, and then find out. But I will say, according to the Rambam, the Trumas HaDeshen, the Rosh, even if for argument's sake it was a Din D'Oraisa, would you be obligated to tell the person right then and there? No, why not? Shogeg. Because halacha l'maaseh, again, the Rambam says, listen, if the person is a shogeg, see what I'm saying? What the Rambam is saying is like this. This halacha really focuses on when there's a clash between my will and God's will. The Rosh understands that to be a case of nezid. That's a case of where a person is intentionally violating the halacha. So if somebody is actively asserting their will over God's will, then I have an obligation to intervene. But if that's not the case, the person is just a shogi, the person just doesn't know, then halacha lemaisa, we try to do whatever we can to preserve their dignity. So bepashtus, in the Erev case, we're number one, you're most probably dealing with a drabanan, but even if you're dealing with a daraisa, presumably again, we're dealing with a shogig, halacha lemaisa, don't tell the person the Erev is down when they're standing in the middle of the street, but rather find some way to get word to them, ultimately again, when they get home. And I will say, it seems to be that the Ramah, now the truth is there are many, we're going to continue, I want to see what to do. This topic kind of touches on many, many other topics, which in general, about when do you tell people that they're doing something wrong, which gets into the very complicated discussion of tochacha, of rebuke. There's a mitzvah of hochiach, tochiach, asamisecha, to rebuke someone if you see them doing something wrong. When is there a mitzvah of rebuke? When is there not the mitzvah of rebuke? Under what circumstances do you say things to people, not say things to people? If you don't say something to a person, are you in violation of lifnei iver, placing a stumbling block? So those are topics that Amir Tashem will cover in future shiurim, but at least for our purposes today, walk away with the Ramah. And the Ramah tells us that halacha l'maisa, if the person is a shogeg, there is absolutely no need to compromise their dignity. You do have to tell them the halacha, but ultimately, again, tell them the halacha in a way where they can take the necessary steps to safeguard their dignity. No need to put them in a case, ultimately, again, where there's this clash between the divine need and my need, just like the Kohen in the case of the Trumas Hadashan. Ultimately, again, don't tell them someone died. Rather, tell them, why don't you come outside? I want to talk to you for a second. Allow him to get dressed. He's a shogeg. And then ultimately, again, give him the need to go ahead, give him the ability to get dressed, safeguard his dignity, and then come out to speak with you. We'll say two takeaway hashkafic lessons, which is number one, that Ramah's telling us that although there may be an obligation to look out and to safeguard the spirituality of the other, one must always do that in a way that preserves the dignity of the other. No one ever comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when someone else makes them feel inferior, right? No one ever comes closer to God because someone else tramples and steps on their dignity. The way to bring people closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through love. And ultimately, again, love is greatest, is manifest in a sensitivity to the dignity of the other. And about the other takeaway lesson, which is an incredible Musar Haskil, is that so much of life, we run into these conflicts between our will and God's will. I will say every single time a person commits an aveira, right? I want to sin. What's that a clash between? It's a clash between what I want and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. And every single time we commit an aveira, effectively what I'm saying is my needs are more important than God's needs. Forget about the other. We should at least be acutely aware that that's the psychology of sin, and to strive to the best of our abilities to always put HaKadosh Baruch Hu's needs and wants before our own.
The example of Tumah.